Ken has asked me to read for devotions Matthew 24, starting with verse 36. You may wish to turn to that. Sometimes when you read scripture, you say, wow, I wonder about that. And I'll make a comment about verse 36. A lot of scriptures in verse 36 say that not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. And it's interesting that there's a note there that says that a number of versions exclude nor the Son, but simply say not the angels in heaven, except the Father alone. And it often wondered me how the Son, who is one with the Father, would not know what the Father goes or has in mind. And it may be more for our purpose than to understand exactly what goes on. I thought about the contrast between the one song, Till the Storm Passes Over, with what I'm about to read, because what I'm about to read could be paraphrased as, well, everything goes on as usual, and then all of a sudden, as you'll find out in the end, things change. Matthew 24, starting with verse 36 to the end of the chapter. But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. And I might make a comment here. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, so I'm sure the people heard, but they were unaware. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all of his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, and the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he does not know. And as I read this part, I thought there in verse 50, isn't that the way it always happens? As soon as you assume I can get away with something, bingo, it happens. Reading verse 50 again. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Rebecca, thank you so much for those songs. I just don't know why you chose it when the storm passes by. Just ask the Lord for strength. Last Sunday, I mentioned about praying for a good friend of mine, Jim High. Well, Jim High is in glory. He died Friday. Cindy called me yesterday morning. Last weekend, was difficult with product not coming in and me having to find product elsewhere so that the young man that was running his route in New York could leave. Well, everything worked out. So this morning, I want to give a tribute to a large man in a small body. Those of you who knew Jim, he was a very small man. And because of that, he was discriminated against, and I'm not going to go into detail about that. Anyhow, because of being small, he always fought like crazy to be as good as one could possibly be. And he was an excellent softball pitcher, and And I caught many games that he pitched. Anyhow, that was a lot of good memories of Jim. But anyhow, he was also a very good man, very devout man. They lost a daughter to cancer. And one day, as we were talking business, we had decided to meet in the parking lot at the Paradise Mennonite Church. That's what I still call it. They call it Grace Point now. But anyhow, his son-in-law, who was married to Jim's daughter that died from cancer, is one of the pastors there. Anyhow, we talked through business, and then he said, Ken, I have a question for you. He said, our son-in-law, Greg, has met this lady, and he said, it's not a good story behind her. She was abused by her husband. Finally, he left her. She had one child, a daughter, who's grown, and I think she's married. And he said, anyhow, our son-in-law has fallen in love with her, and they plan to be married. So I said, Jim, why are you telling me this? Because we were always taught it's wrong to marry a divorced person. That's how we were taught, wouldn't you say? I said, yes, Jim. So now is it right for Greg to marry this young lady? And I said, Jim, I'm very happy that you would ask me for my advice. Well, he said, I told Cindy I'm going to talk to Ken about this. So we talked about it, and he said, I know the church looks at things differently nowadays, but does that change the scripture? Well, we decided it didn't. Anyhow, I told Jim from my honest opinion, from what she had gone through, and the church there had said they didn't have a problem with it, even he being one of the pastors. So I told Jim, just hearing you out, I think I could give my blessing to it. And he was happy about that. And they eventually got married. Of course, a lot of things were running over in my mind since yesterday morning when Cindy called and told me this. She said, do you think we can keep things going, Ken? Oh, I said, if we got through last weekend, okay, and got everything, God provided everything that the route could be run last week or this past week. I said, and Tammy, who was Jim's bookkeeper and treasurer, she had worked at Huber's, so I know her very well, and I told Cindy I think we can keep things going. So I have a heavy heart this morning. Oh, yeah, such is life. Anyhow, that song, Rebecca, blessed me so when the storm passes by. I didn't sing much. I was crying, but it blessed my heart. Well, before I get into the message, you know this is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Excuse me. And I heard an incredible story this week as I was driving that relates to this Sunday, Sanctity of Life. And this is the way the story goes. Dr. John MacArthur, who's pastor of a large church in California, the one who defied the California government and kept his church open during the start of the pandemic when California had ordered churches to close. And he did not close his church. He kept it open. Anyhow, he gets a call one day from a man who said he would like to speak to him. So he invited him to come. And this was this man's story. He's a Jewish man, and he's a doctor, and he's an abortionist. And he told Dr. MacArthur that I must be one of the most miserable men. He said, I have millions of dollars, but lately I have just been so miserable. I've been married twice, divorced twice, and I'm just living with a woman that I don't really love her. He said, my life is a total wreck. I have no idea how many innocent babies' lives I have taken. It could be thousands. I don't know. What is my answer? I need help desperately. So Dr. John MacArthur gave him a Bible and told him to go home and read the book of John. 9 days later, the man called and wondered if he could come back to see him. He came back. He said, I have read the Gospel of John. So what do you think? Who's Jesus? As a Jewish man now, he said he had to be God because no man could have done what he did and not be God. So he said, I'm convinced he was God in human flesh. John said, you are correct. But he read the book of John, and he was convinced that Jesus was God, but he didn't do anything about it. What's my next step, he said to Dr. John MacArthur. And John told him, he said, I think it would be very obvious to you from reading this gospel what your next step should be. And he said, yes, but I'm a Jew. We're not to believe in Jesus. Dr. John said, do you believe? You just said with your mouth that you believe that Jesus must be God. Yes, you must take that next step and say, Jesus, you're God, then you're my Savior. Just say yes to Jesus, and he'll take care of your problem. So the man knelt there and gave his life to Jesus. The story ends by saying that the man got up, and his whole countenance just changed, just like that. Now, here was a man carrying terrible baggage. Wouldn't you say? He didn't have the slightest idea how many lives he had taken. Finally came to the end of himself and gave his heart to Christ. I thought that'd be a good story to let us hear about on Sanctity of Life Sunday. Now, if you care to turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, I get from reading these verses that the Christians in Thessalonica were concerned about those who had fallen asleep, just like Jim has fallen asleep from this life to the next. Starting at verse 13, of course, this is another sermon on the Christian worldview, and this is concerning the end of time. As we will know it, we either know it in death for us personally, or we will know it when Christ comes back. Verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren and sisters, I'd put in there, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. No, we don't sorrow, but yet we do, because those that we loved are gone. But we get over the sorrow because we know there's hope for believers. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now moving on, chapter 5, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons and daughters of light and sons and daughters of the day. I like to include you sisters as well. I think Scripture is saying the same thing. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us all who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. From the scripture that Nevin read for us this morning, I can picture Jesus and his disciples there on the Mount of Olives. As we were on the Mount of Olives one Lord's Day, when we were over there, and you can see across that Kidron Valley to that Temple Mount. And so the disciples brought it to Jesus' attention, the beauty of the temple. Now, this was not Solomon's temple. This was the temple that was built when returnees from captivity came back from Babylon, from Persia. And the older people cried when they saw the new temple because it did not compare to the beauty of Solomon's temple. But then King Herod, to get the Jews on his side, redone the temple and made it into a very beautiful structure. And this is what the disciples were observing. And Jesus went on to tell them. And we know why this happened, because his people, the Jews, rejected him. And the Romans came, destroyed the temple, and Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. They ripped each stone apart to get the gold that ran down through the cracks because of the tremendous fire. And Jesus' prophecy came true. Now, there's a lot of talk about a new temple being built someday, and it probably will be according to Scripture, but as of today, you look down across that Kidron Valley and you see the Dome of the Rock, which was built, a very beautiful, beautiful structure, but it was built by the Arabs, and this is very disgusting to the Jews. Be that as it may, Jesus said destruction is going to come suddenly as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. So how do we live in light of the situation we find ourselves in today? I mean, things have gone just totally haywire in the last year or so. And yet, every day we get up, God gives us strength to go about our work and we rely on him to give us strength for the day. Well, these verses are telling us, as believers, as long as we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in his care and we are in his keeping, whether we die or whether we're alive when he comes. Being in charge of the cemetery there at Hershey's for many years, I often got the thought how great it would be just to see all these graves open up and people come out. And we know, we know there's nothing left except bones, because in digging one day, the man in charge of the backhoe came up to the farm there and hunted me up, and he said, I'm down here digging and I ran into bones, so we must be part of another grave. So I went down. He said, what are we supposed to do? I said, I'm going to crawl down there and take these bones and just push them over to the corner and put a little dirt over them, and you finish digging. That's about all I can do, about all we can do. And I said to him, I hope you're a Christian, because someday these bones that we just saw there that I pushed into the corner, someday when Christ comes back, those bones are all going to come together into a body that's going to go pew, up into the air. And if we're living when that happens, then we go up and we're all changed, whether we're in the grave or whether we're out of the grave. Now we go up to glory. And he looked at me and he said, boy, you give me a lot to think about. In short order, I said, well, that's how it's going to be. It's how the Scripture says. But we which are alive will not go up ahead of those who are dead and become alive. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. They are comforting words, especially when you lose a good friend and the storm passes by. Oh, Rebecca, what a great song for you to lead this morning. So as we go into these other verses in chapter 5, we have so many, as we observe our world today, from what we hear in the news, what we see in television, there are so many people who are either asleep or drunk, maybe not physically but spiritually, to what is happening around us. The conflict in the nations, if you listen to the news, we just don't know what we're going to hear next. And we don't know who we are going to hear of, who was like Jim 3 weeks ago. He was as fine as could be. just don't know. But the Apostle Paul is saying here, as believers, the future for us, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So whether we wake or whether we sleep, we shall eventually be together with him. Aren't they very comforting words? Very comforting. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the eternal home that you are preparing for all your children down through the ages to this present day. All of us have lost ones close to us, and until you come back to take us home, death will always be a part of our lives. I'll pray your special blessing upon Cindy and their family as they grieve right now Jim's passing, and anyone here who might be grieving because of loss of loved ones. But Father, we know this is not the end. The end will be when you come back and take us all home to glory, whether we're in the grave or alive on the earth. Just keep us faithful to you and to your word. Bless each one here this morning and bless us as we go into this coming week. Give us strength for each day. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And this benediction comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who causes you is faithful and also will do it. Amen. Go and God be with you. Have a good week.